Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So a state Supreme Court judge today in New York denied Lyft's motion to stop the implementation of the new minimum wage. You may remember back in December, the city of New York set a minimum wage requiring app-based taxi companies to set a per mile, per minute rate so it would be high enough so people could make a living doing it. In fact, the numbers, I think it was like $17.22 an hour and like $26.50 an hour before your expenses. So enough to be able to take on all the responsibilities of having to upkeep the car and put fuel in it and pay the tolls and all of that, and also be able to eat. I think kind of important. So I see this as a major victory for workers, especially in the gig economy, which is why I've asked Tina Reveno to come talk with us. She's a steward with the Independent Drivers Guild, also a Lyft driver. Tina, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me, Rick. Thank you.
So I understand there was a big rally, bunch of people out today, kind of letting this judge know, hey, we want you to go the right way on this.
Yes, we came out. We had to come out to support all the other drivers, you know, to show Lyft that, you know, drivers do have a voice. So, yeah, we came out today for that.
So are you surprised by this decision? Is this you got to be happy with it. Are you surprised with it?
No, we're very happy. You know, we have, you know, worked, you know, 2 years looking for drivers, you know, to get this pay. So this is a big victory for drivers right now and for us as well. So, you know, we're pretty happy with the judge decision right now.
Now, you're talking about, you know, there's an awful lot of Uber and Lyft drivers and a lot of these app-based drivers. You know, to me, it's important that you make sure that there's a floor under their feet so that we're not exploiting folks who do this work.
Correct.
So, you know, in looking at the numbers that the city spent, because I don't know that a lot of people know how Uber and Lyft work. Is this a significant raise for a lot of people? Where does this fit and how does it help you guys?
It helps us a lot. You know, drivers haven't had a raise or never had a raise like that, you know, in years. And now, you know, we fought, you know, we fought so hard to get, you know, that raise for drivers. You know, that's pretty good, you know.
No, look, at the end of it, I've been saying for a long time that, you know, this gig economy, there we've got to put some rules to the road so that people aren't being exploited, that people aren't working for a dollar an hour. Even though people say, well, you know, if they're willing to do it, Rick, we should be able to exploit them. And I'm going, no, not going there. I'm not comfortable with that.
No, at all. You know, as drivers, you know, we pay for our cars. You know, everything we pay is on our own back. Those gig companies, they don't help us with anything, you know.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is what gets me. I mean, you guys are told, you know, you have to have, I mean, I was reading some of the code of conduct stuff where, you know, the kind of, you have to have a certain kind of car. It has to be, you know, there's certain condition, you know, there the restrictions on what you can do, what you can't do. It seems to me that they're making an awful lot of demands that a company would make on an employee, not just someone who they pulled off the street.
Correct. There are a lot of demands that, you know, Uber or Lyft or any of these gig companies, they don't have any control when it comes to what kind of vehicle you have. We have to buy our own vehicle. You know, all the expenses are covered by drivers, 100%. All they do is just give us a ping and we just get a ride. That's it. But yet still, you know, they have all these laws that a driver has to abide by to continue making a living on their terms and their rules, you know?
No, I know, and it's one of those things that I have a problem with. But, you know, my argument is shouldn't you just be considered employees and you know, at some point, you know, break down this kind of exploitive situation? At least that's my thought.
Well, we are independent drivers, right? We are business owners in a sense, right?
Yeah,
so we really do not want to be employees because we left that sector where we were employees, right? And we got into this economy where, you know, there's flexibility, we could be for our families and still make a living, right? So that, you know, as drivers, choosing this sector to be in shouldn't be, you know, controlled by a company where they tell us what to do as drivers. You know, that should not be. right?
Okay. Well, yeah. If that's what you say, but you know, at the other side of that, then isn't that where their argument is that you're then independent contractors and we don't have to follow any of the labor laws, the minimum wage laws, or anything? Isn't that their argument?
Yeah, but why should they have to exploit us, though? We shouldn't be exploited.
No, well, that's where I agree. But as an independent contractor, you have the choice to fold your arms and move and walk away.
Yes, we do. We do. But, you know, most of us drivers, we came to this economy on false hope. We were told and we were told, you know, a lot of good things that would happen to us in this economy. You know, for example, you know, the amount of money they take from drivers when we drive, you know, the commission was better in the beginning. Now it's higher. You know, so a lot of the things that was promised to us as drivers are no longer now currently, and it's getting worse and worse as time goes by.
Yeah.
You understand? Drivers take out loans for cars, and then, you know, it's so they're playing so much with the algorithm that it's so hard to have us afford to pay those cars, those vehicles, you know?
No, and that's where I say, you know, at the end of it, this is where this should be an employee-employer relationship, and they should be the ones having to provide the vehicles and pay the costs and shoulder the burdens. Because, you know, I've talked to a number of Uber drivers who say the same thing. Look, I'm saddled with all the costs, all the risk I'm bearing. So, you know, I'm in this car. You know, the one guy I talked to, it was telling me he has to take, I guess he got to take like 6 or 8 hours off. But every other hour of the day, he's living in that car. And I'm going, you know, that just doesn't seem like something that I would want to see for working people as a whole in any industry, let alone one that people are driving around in.
Which I totally agree with you, you know, but, you know, all these other app companies, they're out there selling, they still continue to sell, you know, this dream to drivers, which are still coming into the industry, saturating the industry. Okay, so if you have more drivers and less work, then what's going to happen, right?
No, absolutely. Look, I spent the mass of my working career in the trucking industry. So what's happening to the cab industry, what's happening to the taxi industry, happened to the trucking industry 30 years ago. They sold people, and they sold young people, they sold desperate people on the, you're going to be your own boss, and in 7 to 10 years, you're going to own the truck that you're leasing, and you know all these big dreams, only to find out that it was basically a sweatshop on wheels, and they were living in their trucks like animals, home maybe 5 days a year just to keep paying the bills. And I don't want to see that for anybody, not truck drivers, not cab drivers, you know, not anyone.
Right. Well, that's why this raise that we got, it's a big help, you know. It's a big help. And is that the end of the road? No, it's not. You know, as a union, we're going to keep on fighting for better pay, you know, as the economy, you know, increases and, you know, our livelihood increases with everything, you know, the prices of everything going up and up. Look now, there's concession tax added to it, you know. So this raise is good. Drivers want it. We know we are okay right now with what we're getting. You know, we need to keep, we want it. We need this raise.
Now, yes. Do you get health care as part of your gig there, or is that something on your own as well?
It's all on our own. You know, being a driver is like owning your own business, basically. It's your own business, yes.
Interesting.
Everything is on our own. The only thing we get from these app-based companies is the rider. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah, I was in New York and I saw a bunch of Uber and Lyft drivers. And, you know, a couple of minutes I had to talk with them before they were picking up fares. It's just one. It's something that I don't know that people understand how the whole gig works. And as you've pointed out, all they provide is the rider who downloads the app.
That's it. Yes.
And you guys who are riding people around, you're the ones taking all of the risk, all of the responsibility, all of the burdens, and not sharing. I would argue not enough in the rewards of this. Now this minimum wage, you know, $17.22 an hour may sound like a lot in, you know, central Pennsylvania or middle America, but New York City, $17
New
an
York
hour.
City, you know, it's okay, but it's still not enough. You know, we still need more. It's just a start, you know. It's a stepping stone, right? It's something to start off with, which is good for now. But the fight still continues, you know.
Right. So where do you see this going for in the coming days? I mean, this is obviously a huge victory. You've got to be thrilled off of this. It's going to help maybe organize some more drivers into your guild. What do you see forward on?
Well, we're going to wait, you know, to hear, you know, what the judge is going to, her decision will be in 30 days, and then we'll take it from there. You know, we do have a lot more things to fight for as a guild. We have a lot more things to fight for, you know.
Such as?
For now, we're just going to wait. You know, we have the deactivations, you know. We have a big deactivation problem in New York City where lots of drivers, you know, with just a call from a regular rider could just have been deactivated off the platform, okay, with no explanation whatsoever. So this is something we actually want to fight for later on, you know, to help the city to have this, you know, regulated as well. Yes.
Yeah, because one of the things I did see that I found interesting is it looked like a lot of the Uber and Lyft drivers were doing what gypsy cabs used to do, you know, 20 years ago. To get around the taxi commission, and they were picking up fares on the side. I got to imagine that's something that both the city and Uber and Lyft don't want to see happen.
Well, we're not allowed to do that because, you know, we are regulated by the TLC in New York City, so we don't pick up street hails.
Yeah.
All calls we get, you know, is via the app. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, this is one of those moments where technology has caused a bit of a little chaos, and it's going to be interesting how we play this out because technology is going to affect virtually every job in this country in the next 20 years. So how it plays out for you guys will be, you know, we see how it plays out for people in the future.
Correct. Yes, you're right about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask the personal side of this, if you don't mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, what got you into this?
Okay. Well, for me, I came from a retail background, and I worked in retail for quite some time. And I'm like, I just needed a break from retail, and I needed more flexibility with my son, you know, to just spend more time with him.
Sure.
And I thought that would happen, and it turned out not to be the case. You know, the only good thing about it is that I tend to have a little bit more flexibility sometimes, but I'm always working, so it's a little bit of both. But this is why I chose this, you know, job. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still love my job. And now more than ever, I like what I'm doing, fighting for drivers, fighting to better the life of drivers when I got, you know, involved with the guild. So that's another good thing, you know, yeah.
No, I mean, that's interesting. Because it's kind of the same story. I heard people were looking for jobs.
Yeah.
And this came up, and it was, you know, they were sold on the, hey, I'm going to be
They told me a dream. They told me, you know, every week you would make this amount of money. And in the beginning, it was kind of what they said. But as the months went by, it was like, no, this is not what you guys said. And then you start to realize all the loopholes, you know, that's going on. And, you know, you hear all the stories, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, like a drug dealer. They got you hooked, and now you're in.
They got you hooked. And, you know, you invest. You know, you pay for a car. You have a car. You invest in that car. People say, okay, you know, walk away. But you already invested in something that you thought that was really going to make a difference in your life, and now it's not. And that's an issue.
Yeah, you know, they got
selling
you.
They're selling all these fake dreams around the country, which is not. They get you hooked, and after a while, they just change everything. They change the whole script on you, you know?
No, I know. I mean, they got you. I mean, it's just like, you know, once you made that commitment, once you bought in, took that loan out, they know they had you. And now that's when they start, you know, turning the screws. And I think it's important to talk about these things because these kind of things are going to continue to pop up. You know, look, everybody wants to be their own boss. Everybody wants to do well. Everybody, you know, wants to make a good living and all of that. But at the end of it, these big companies don't become very wealthy and powerful by being generous. They become wealthy and powerful by screwing the little guy.
Yes, like us. Yes.
And that's why, you know, I was thrilled to see that you guys are organizing and coming together because this is the other part of this story is that people are coming together and saying, enough of this BS already.
Yes. Drivers are coming together. Drivers are coming to us. You know, we are growing as a union, and that's a great thing. You know, we could only just keep on growing from here on.
Yeah. Now, I understand you're affiliated with the Machinist Union, right?
Yes, we are. Yes.
And how long you guys been organizing? How long you guys been a union?
ICT has been around about 2.5 years, almost 3 years, yes. Almost
oh, wow.
3 years.
So you pretty much almost pretty early on in the process.
Yes, yeah. We won tipping. Tipping was one of the first things we won for drivers. That was our first victory. You know, when the gig companies came to, you know, when they came in, they didn't want drivers. Drivers were not giving tips. And IGG stepped in, and we fought for them, and we won.
Well, it's all of these little victories. Today, another one. You celebrate this one. You come out tomorrow swinging to improve and make things better. Tina, I appreciate
it.
Yep, I appreciate the time. I wish you the best. And as things continue, we'd love to have you back so you can keep us informed and up to date on what's going on.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Good stuff. Thank you, Tina. Tina Revenue. She's a steward and Lyft driver, steward with the guild workers there. I look at this, the Independent Drivers Guild. I look at this and you go, this mirrors exactly what happened in the trucking industry, 30 years ago. They sold people on the idea that you can be your own boss, that you're going to make all this money. And then they got them tied into these long-term lease agreements and these purchases where, now they're married to these payments and the insurance and the tolls and the fuel and all the stuff. And, just ran them. And if they started asking for too much, well, they just cut them off and then repossessed the truck. And now they're out. And, sadly, you can see that playing out, not just for Uber and Lyft drivers, but for anyone who follows this model. And that's the scary thing, because in the coming years, we're going to see more of these scams. More of these things are going to pop up. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Tell me what you think. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.